Are you a sheep? No. You're a dragon. Be a dragon.
This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, glorious, amazing, full of ideas, a bit, I don't know if she's tired, but she's my glorious co-host, Amanda! Hi, Amanda, I just made you tired, I'm sorry if that's true.
Hi, Monica. I mean, it is true, but that's not like what's really going on. But yeah, it's totally true.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Yeah. Kinda. It's all right. Been better times, but it's all right.
There's been better times. There's been worse times.
That is true. There has always been worse times.
That is for sure. I think I would like to maybe blame my crazy emotions today on Mercury retrograde, which started today.
Yeah, let's just blame Mercury retrograde. We haven't blamed Mercury retrograde for what? 4 months? Now what? 3 months? I don't know how long.
I don't know. Yeah, a while.
I don't know how long it's not retrograding, but let's just blame Mercury retrograde for it.
Yes, I think that's fair.
And the weather. We can always blame the weather.
True. It's been raining, but it's now sunny, so, you know.
Damn it. So we can't blame the Northern Irish weather. It was actually not too bad over here, so I maybe can't even blame the weather.
It's terrible. We had our second storm. First storm was last weekend, Storm Kira. And we just have Storm Dennis passing through now, so a little bit of showers today, but it's not too bad.
So you have male names for your weather situations?
Really? They alternate. They go female, male, female, male, and they work their way through the alphabet. It's the same way, same system they use to name hurricanes.
I don't recall a male hurricane.
Yeah.
The lethal ones always seem to be the women.
Well, I mean, that could be saying something.
Could be. So what have you been doing on the weekend?
This weekend was pretty geeky, actually. Played some Dragon Pirate Studio games.
Nice.
And then had a social Zoom call with our business peeps that you didn't come to. Sad face.
Sorry.
And here. And then I just played a lot of Elder Scrolls Online. A lot of Elder Scrolls Online.
That sounds great.
I even was streaming yesterday on Sunday.
Totally unannounced.
Well, I announced it like 2 hours before. Did some Sunday morning streaming sessions. Might become a thing. Might not. But it might. I want it to.
Yeah. I just heard about it on Monday, so I couldn't be there because I had no idea.
Oh.
But next time, next Sunday.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
What about you? What's up? What's new?
We have been painting our kitchen cabinets on the weekend. That was basically all I did besides watching way more Grey's Anatomy. Because that's my go-to comfort series.
Yeah, I feel you.
Which is interesting because when it started, it was early 2000s. It's pretty hilarious because on the one hand, at the first few seasons, they still used regular telephones with cables.
Oh, wow.
Which is so funny. I was like, look at that. They still had like stuff and was interesting, and also all the paper charts, and you could see how they write everything down on their notebook and shit, and I was like, wow, that's so old already that you notice that in the series. And I recalled where I got a lot of music from, because so much music that I listen to is from this series, and it brought me right back into the early 2000s somehow. Weird.
Wow, is that how old it is? I remember my partner in like 2005 and 2006, she was really into Grey's Anatomy. And 2007 too. I don't know, like those years, somewhere around those years.
the 16th season already, so 16 years.
Okay, so 2004. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I would have watched, like, some episodes around, like, the beginning time.
Yeah. I can't. And then they have these split seasons, too, so I'm not sure how it works, but I guess it would have started 2004, 2003, around that time, maybe. Yeah. Pretty
hard. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah. Lots of, I mean, medicine has advanced so much over those years, like over the last 16 years. So it's actually, like, it's really good that the TV show is keeping up and, like, kind of portraying all the advances.
I mean, I can't say that I can see that so much in the series because it's all ridiculously advanced. I don't know if that's very accurate with proper medicine. What I see, though, is that they do. Because also Ellen Pompeo, the one who is actually Meredith Grey, she's very outspoken about a lot of problems in our society. And you can totally see that mirrored in the series in the last few seasons way more. Like, they had the topic where, I don't know, they had this Mexican girl and they had no insurance and how, and he earned her father earned too much money. And so that stuff comes on, and the mother was, they were separated from their mom and shit, like shit that's going on in the US. They totally used that and they work through that also in the series, which is really interesting to see. And that feels more the older the series gets, and I think the more, I guess, Ellen Pompeo says we need to speak about this, because she's also one of those who is like, I fucking am the face of this fucking series. You better pay me what I'm worth and all that kind of stuff. So I guess she also gets more say the longer she's part of it. And she
I would say so.
And I mean, Shonda Rhimes, who does the series, is also, I think, very out, very has a lot to say in general. Also about females in the film industry and about politics and social injustice and stuff like that. So yeah, it's interesting.
Good series to watch.
Yeah, I like it. I always liked it.
Maybe one day I'll try to watch it, but 16 seasons is a lot to get caught up on.
That is true. With no end in sight so far, so who knows how long they will go.
I know. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
We'll find out.
So basically this week we're gonna go a bit deeper into geekdom. Sounds wrong.
I think we're gonna open our hearts a little bit and maybe get a little personal and vulnerable and
vulnerable.
Maybe this will be the second episode I ever cry on.
Because Robin Hope was the first one. I'm glad that Robin Hope was your first. That seems seems so appropriate.
It does. Since I cried so much through the whole book, so obviously I had to cry talking about them.
Yeah, we thought since we both are not flying high right now, we thought we'd talk a bit about how geekdom helps us through phases like this. Yeah, the hard times. Where it's not always rainbow and unicorns.
No. And I think the most important thing is to, like, these feelings, they happen. You get down days and you can accept them and acknowledge them and it's okay. I know I'm really guilty of pushing, like, bad feelings away and being like, no, I'm not looking at this. I don't want to talk about it. I didn't cry today. Like, and to be fair, it doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, like, just I'm learning to talk about it more.
I mean, what you're saying is basically the story of my, not even adult life, I think, story of my life. Shoving shit down and not talking about it and not facing it because I can do this. Pressure. Yeah. But also then life showed that's just not working. Like, you can keep that up for so long and not acknowledging how you're feeling and what your feelings are and pretending that nothing is wrong and everything is fine. You can keep that up for a certain amount of time, but if you keep doing that, it will just come crashing down on you eventually in your life. Because some things also happen in your life that then make you face stuff. So I guess we need to be more open with what we're going through when we're going through it. Because otherwise that's just holding on to that emotion when you don't talk about it. You just try to ignore it so hard. But it's like when you don't want to eat something and you think about how much you don't want to eat something, you want to eat it way more, or you want to have something way more the more you try to not want it. And you can't let that emotion go when you pretend it's not there and nothing can bring me down and rah. And all you do in that moment is just keep it holding on to it and not letting it go. Whereas if you would acknowledge that it's there, it's just you go through it and then releases itself. But that's something that we need to learn.
Yeah, it doesn't always come easy.
Oh no, it's also very uncomfortable.
Yep. But over the years, I've definitely used my geekiness as a way of not even just escaping like sadness or anger or like feelings that I didn't want to address, but a way to help me cope with them and understand. And like, especially if it was a game that I've played hundreds of times, like Super Mario on the SNES, I could actually, and still do actually, like kind of sort out my thoughts while I'm playing something that I don't actually need to think about all that much. Because I am very much a person, like, I think best when I'm doing something that lets that part of my brain think. This is actually, it's funny, this is something that Monica and I talked about not too long ago, about the way that a person thinks, like, whether you have thoughts, like, actually a voice talking in your head, or if you just, like, think in terms of not that. She shared this YouTube video that just this guy was talking to someone who didn't have like an inner monologue, and it blew his mind and it blew Monica's mind, and I was like, I get it. Like, I only have an inner monologue if I really think hard about having an inner monologue. Like, it doesn't come natural to me. It's not there constantly. And Monica's shaking her head at me because she's like, I still don't fucking get it. So, like, when I don't know if it's like a left-right brain kind of thing, like, you know, those two sides of your analytical and creative brain or something. But, like, if I'm engaging one side of my brain, like doing something monotonous or repetitive or something, it kind of unlocks the other side that lets me process it. Like, that process whatever I'm going through.
Fascinating.
Yeah, so hi, psychology lessons today.
I think that's so fascinating. I had a lot of talks about that in a monologue situation, and you told me that, but you didn't, like, you told me that you don't have it, you just have it when you force it to. But I had not, what we didn't talk about was that you use something else as the key to unlock the other side, where it then helps you to process. That's so interesting.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I don't really think in words, but like I if I'm thinking about something, like writing really helps me sort through my thoughts and emotions as well. Because like as I'm writing, like people talk about free writing and writing just whatever comes to your mind and blah blah blah. And I'm like, that's what I always do. Like, why do you need to just like what? I'm really confused. So that the whole conversation let me understand why people want to free write more, because I'm just like, that's just writing to me. I don't get it.
It's so fascinating to all the people that I talked, everyone who doesn't have this inner monologue, right? They use writing to process things. Like you said, you use writing to process things. And a few that others I talked to, they were like, now when I ask, how do you think through things, then think through it, how does that work, then a lot of them either wrote a diary or are bloggers, or as you say, you do, you write, or they write other stories by themselves, or as I mentioned, diary already. So it's, I think what I do in my head as a constant blah 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 constantly in my brain in sentences and discussions and whatever, people who don't do that use writing for it, or I notice that they use writing for it way more than, and I just can't get myself to write, even though when I go to therapy, she tells me I should write on it, and I'm like, yeah, sure, and then I'm super motivated, and then I'm like, well, then it never happens because I can't jump over that thing that, because it feels like I've already processed it or I've already thought so much about it, even though I know that when I would write it down, it's way clearer and way more structured and everything. But it's just very difficult for me to write something down because I think I already have most of that stuff happening in my head. And you guys, you don't. That's why.
Yeah.
It is so fucking fascinating.
It's really, really fascinating. I find that, like, if it's not video games, it's maybe something like coloring. Like people talk about like using coloring for mindfulness, and I can use coloring to help process my thoughts because it activates a different part of my brain that actually allows the thinking and processing part to do its thing. And then that means that I don't have to write it down and sort them out that way. It's just like, I don't know why there's just like a, I don't know what it is. It's a bit strange. And it's even weird talking about it out loud because I'm like, huh, I do this, and I never thought about the fact that I do this, but actually this is a very revealing conversation for me right now.
Maybe that's also the reason why you say you use geeky things and whatever you enjoy to process stuff, where I'm like, I use all the things and binge all the shit to numb my head. Mm. Because obviously when I'm occupied with watching something, my brain does that still occasionally where I'm like, well, what did just happen like 2 minutes ago? But way less than if I would just be on my own. But it's less of a, I'm watching it or I'm doing stuff or I'm playing a game to process it, more to numb, more to get away from that constant talk in my head. Whereas you mentioned that you actually do that to deal with the shit, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Actually, now that I'm really thinking, I'm like, well, that explains why, like, I always go back to something like Donkey Kong or Super Mario, like, on the SNES. Like, we're talking going back to the 90s, like, games that I have literally played for over 20 years, just because that's where I know so well that I can just process something while I play. Huh. Counseling with Amanda and Monica.
It just comes so full circle right now that inner monologue thing is way more prevalent in so many situations in life than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You hear a lot about people, or not people, but you hear a lot about video games getting such a bad rap because, like, they're bad for your mental health and playing too many games rots your eyes and eye strain and, like, getting lost in a video game and like escapism is really bad because it makes you not process things. And like, I don't know, there's so much negative stigma about how much people play video games, but people play video games for so many reasons, and it's not always an escape. It's not always something that, like, people play video games for fun. I play video games for fun most of the time, unless I need to talk about something to myself.
First of all, I think the argument that it's mainly an escapism issue is also, and blaming it on video games that people then want to escape things. People have always wanted to escape things, but they just have done different things for it in the centuries and thousands of years that they've been on this planet. So yes, previously they did, I don't know, read books until the cows came home.
Just still like do that. Analogy.
Yeah, but they blame technology, they blame video games, they blame TV for things that people already did in some way or the other anyway. Like they escaped their lives by drinking too much. So what's healthier now? I mean, obviously, I'm not advocating for an addictive behavior or video gaming, but I think not every time it means that when someone is doing something and on a high rate that it's addicted, that the person is addicted at the same time. So it still could be that you just do it in a high rate, but you could stop the next day, for example. I think there are more things to the addiction that than just doing stuff a lot.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that on the lines of like video games as escapism, like you could say anything is escapism. Playing sports, like playing football or rugby or any kind of violent sports, like that, if you find yourself escaping from life to play that sport, for example, or going to the movies, or like you say, reading a book, or alcohol. Like, there are so many things that you can actually get, like, escape your problems in, that you can't point a finger just at video games as the problem. Like, I'm sure back in the ancient eras, like, gladiatorial combat could have been an escapism for some people. Chariot racing, you know, I don't know. I'm in ancient Rome and I don't know why. And, like, I'm just going with it, okay?
Why not?
Prostitution.
True.
You know, like, people have wanted to escape from things forever.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes it might have been like an actual thing to do, literally escape from a dinosaur or a woolly mammoth, because I don't think people and dinosaurs live together, but people and woolly mammoths definitely did.
I was thinking
of Ice Age. I was hanging out with Ice Age in my head.
Which I can see. Were there dinosaurs in Ice Age? Yeah, when the ice melted and shit, right? Then were there dinosaurs, yeah. I haven't seen all of them, I don't think.
Oh, they're so good. They're like some of my favorite cartoons. Yeah. Like, sometimes if my brain has something that it wants me to think about, and even if I'm reading a book, it'll just like go off and think about it while I'm reading. Like, my eyes will be going on the page and my brain will be thinking something through. And then I'm like, huh, I didn't read the last four pages. And I have to like go back. And
that happens to me too.
Yeah.
The brain goes on a rant, takes some other streets, and then you're like, what was I just reading? I know that as well.
Yeah.
But then my brain constantly does some weird talky-talky stuff.
Mine doesn't. My brain just actually plays music all the time.
I find it.
It's annoying.
I was way more musical, like, not musical. I sang in a choir when I was little, and when I started to work at my first job, I also constantly sang with the radio, but then I had a really bad heartbreak, and then I stopped singing.
Oh.
Yeah, that was really sad, but also because I worked together with the person, and I was so, it was really bad.
Oh, that's so, Monica, I'm so sorry to hear that. Maybe you need to start singing more to yourself, along to the car radio.
Well, that I do, though, because I can't hear myself then. But I don't, when I work, I sang to the songs in the radio. I don't do that anymore now. I do sing in my car still.
you don't sing along while you're working anymore because you're too busy binging Grey's Anatomy on half your screen?
Maybe, but... But that's not always the case. That's not always the case. That is not always the case, I promise. I'm not lying right now. It is the case. Okay, I also go through that stuff like that in phases. So then I binge something hard, and then there is some quiet time in between until I find something new to binge. But going back to how people deal with things, and that video game is not always escapism. Also something that Thist said in the episode that we had her on, where she basically gained more confidence through gaming again and got herself out of the depression, because those are the things she could accomplish when she was depressed, where at least she killed that boss in WoW, for example.
Yeah, at least you started selling your herbs. You get two levels in a day. Like, no, there's definitely, like, I think there's a lot of truth in that. Like, when you can't do anything, at least you can do something.
And also it gives you a great feeling of accomplishment sometimes. Like, I recall when I played Breath of the Wild, there are a lot of quizzes in there, and the feeling of accomplishment when I solved my own quiz, which, spoiler alert, I don't always do. When I can't figure it out, I just look it up online and then I do it. But that's just something that I got rid of, because I thought when growing up, I need to all manage it myself. And if I don't, then I can't play the game. But now I'm like, I can play the fucking game whatever way I freaking want. And if that's me getting some help, that's not me being flawed and being a failure. It's just, well, that one I didn't get, but the next one I do get. So, and solving that stuff, it gives you some sort of boost where, like, yay, I did it.
It does. It's like, hey, you're awesome. Like, anytime that I get 100% achievements in a game, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I think that that's why I'm kind of an achievement hunter, because it's like the video game going, you're doing so well for spending all this time playing me. Good job. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. Like, it is that boost. It's like a dopamine hit that you're just like, God. And then it makes you want to play more. And I mean, maybe that's why addiction to video games does happen, because it's a healthier way to get your highs.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it definitely happens, and I don't think it's always a bad thing, especially if you are going through a hard time.
Is it easy for you to get highs in your life?
I mean, I'm pretty easy to please, so probably.
But when, like, you go through a regular day, would you say you have regular highs during the day?
Probably. I mean, I'm a big hugger, and I always get a lot of warm fuzzies when I just spend like 5 minutes hugging Tom in the kitchen, because that does happen all the time. It just, like, there's just, I don't know. It's just a thing that I really like to do, just hug a lot.
Is your love language physical?
No, I don't think so. I actually think it's words of affirmation.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's funny, actually, I need to do the love languages quiz for a client today. And it's changed, like, the last two times that I've done it, I've gotten a different result for the top.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll do it again today and see what it is. But yeah, that's fun. I'm going to look at what it is. Because my last client I had to do it for, we had to do like a load of personality tests. And that was one of them. So we actually have them in a document with all our other personality information. Just because he wants to know what the best way to get to know you is. Mm-hmm. So apparently the things that make my day, just in case you're wondering, are cat videos. So that's where I was in my life when I filled this out. No, my love languages are actually acts of service. Uh-huh. Is my number one, followed by quality time, words of affirmation, and then physical touch.
Interesting.
Yeah, but definitely the first time I took the test, words of affirmation was at the top.
Interesting. Yeah, to make the test again when you all say that it changes for you, because I feel mine is very me. I can't, yeah, maybe it changes, but also I don't feel that mine can't be any different now. I feel the one where I did it initially is very, very spot on. Because
what is yours?
Hang on. So you get points for it, right? So my top one is active service with 12, then is 8 with quality time, then 4 physical touch, 4 receiving gifts, and 2 words of affirmation. So words of affirmation do shit for me.
That's why you need to yell at you in order to get anything done.
That is true.
You need to even yell praise at Monica.
That was pretty hilarious. That just makes me laugh. That's why I can accept it better than when you actually praise me normally.
Yeah. No, that's funny that you've got one up at 12, though. My highest one is 10.
Okay.
And then my receiving gifts is at a 0.
Really?
Yeah. So that's actually why I'm going to take it again instead of just using the same results for this other client, just to see what happens.
That is true. That is interesting that receiving gifts is 0.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, that's weird, but true.
But yeah, maybe then that's why. What is your top now acts of service, you said?
Acts of service, yeah.
I'm wondering if geeky stuff plays into the acts of service there somehow. Kind of.
Doesn't. I mean, if somebody helps me with a game, I certainly appreciate it.
No, I mean more is something that a game does in itself, something that satisfies your acts of service love language.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, the game doesn't clean my kitchen.
No.
Quality time, it could be, though.
Could be. Tom cleaned my kitchen yesterday. Well, our kitchen.
See? That's great.
I know. We actually had a very productive weekend, but that's not on topic.
I do get warm and fuzzy inside when I see that something is done that I didn't expect to be done. Even when it's just an empty dishwasher.
Yeah. That's one of my least favorite jobs, is emptying the dishwasher. I also am very aware that it's one of the easiest jobs. But it's one of my least favorite things.
But you like cooking, or at least you do cook, so I think that's a great deal.
Yeah.
I would empty out all the dishwashers if someone would cook for me instead.
Oh man, if I never had to do another dish in my life, I would cook for the world.
Really?
Yeah.
can you move in next to us and then you just bring me food all the time? That would be my ideal, to be honest. Someone that brings me food regularly.
Yeah, but it would be gluten-free and vegan.
I don't care. I like your food. Cool. It's great food. You make really good food, as long as I don't have to cook it.
You just have to clean up after me, and let me tell you, that can be a disaster.
Well, it can't be worse than what I do. So,
Do you think that, like, cooking is a geeky thing?
I guess it's about the passion. Because what we said is our definition of geeky is something that we have a high passion for.
That's true.
And you do have a strong, strong passion for cooking.
Yeah. Because sometimes I feel like a pretty big geek in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Just because I get really excited about cookbooks and creating and sharing. And I get a lot of pleasure out of it.
That is great. Though I started to not hate cooking as much, so I need to get on a better page with cooking. That was one of my goals. I still have a hard time hearing what you say, though. I'm like, what the fuck is she even saying? I aim for neutral ground right now, at least. And I can build from there. Maybe cooking and me will love each other eventually. Who knows?
Maybe. I think there's a potential for everyone.
Yeah. And I know that's just me and my resisting nature. That's like stuff that I have to do, I hate.
Tell me about it.
So that's the problem.
Tell me about it. Sorry, I'm just like, wow, yeah, I really, if somebody tells me to do something, I'm like, you do it. Fuck you.
It happens with the simplest things in life sometimes. Yeah. And I'm like, why the fuck, man? Why the fuck do I have an issue again? But I just have one. But that's also something I need to accept, because that, as I established with my therapist, is just part of my character and will never go away. So instead of fighting my resistance, I need to say, hi, resistance.
Hmm.
And
you know where I get the biggest, like, if somebody tells me to do something and it's like, it's the stupidest thing. If I'm lying in bed, like in the morning or something, and somebody comes down and tells me to get out of bed, I don't know why, but I will dig my heels. Literally, I'll be like, nope. And like, I will stay in bed for 3 more hours just despite somebody who told me to get out of bed. And I don't know why, because I don't particularly want to be in bed, but it's just because somebody felt the desire to tell me to get out of bed. And I'm like, I'll get out of bed when I fucking will, please.
Yes.
Bastards.
Yes.
But it's like such a stupid thing. I'm like, oh.
My resistance is also with the stupidest things. Stupidest things every day in my life. Every day. I don't know. Somebody calls me. I'm like, fuck you, asshole. How dare you call me? I'm definitely going to pick up that phone. So it's just shit like this. And I know it. I know it's stupid. And I feel like a 5-year-old. When it's happening. Yes. And I stand next to myself and I'm like looking at my 5-year-old self at the moment and be like, good job, well done, again.
Yeah, you're doing great. Like, this is totally what 30-something-year-old women are supposed to do. Yeah,
but that's just something that's part of my characteristics and that's part of my character. And I need to then sit with it and breathe and be like, is this a relevant resistance now, or is that autopilot? And 90% of the time it's autopilot. And if it's not, then what is behind it?
Hashtag real talk with Monica.
Hashtag real talk. Real talk.
Wow.
But I think geeky things bring us
a lot.
It helps your processing. It helps my ignoring life sometimes. And it gives us good feelings as well.
Feeling, yeah, there's
accomplishment.
There's so much, with so many reasons to play video games, and I really do think that the reasons are endless. And yeah, more video games, more open mental health talks.
Less shame, though. Less shame if you use things like that to process your life, because I think that's also something that's very prevalent in society still, that there's something wrong when you do it and then you try to hide it and not do it as much and blah blah blah.
No shame in playing video games, and there's no shame in mental health problem. We just need to talk about it more and play more games.
Unless you're really addicted, then get help.
Probably play games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the episode we've got.
Cool.
So, yeah, I'll definitely be playing some Elder Scrolls Online tonight.
Good job.
As a form of enjoyment and not having to think, because I probably won't think.
It's good when you can select when it's happening.
Yeah.
I see that as a big benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, next week we've got some Geek Girl in the News coming up for you. So, yeah, tune in then for a really awesome episode that is probably going to be a lot happier than this one, even though this one was really interesting conversation for me.
Yeah, same. So share with us what kind of person you are. Are you processing or are you hiding with your geekdom?
Yeah, and also, are you an internal monologue or whatever's going on in my headalogue?
Whatever is going on in my headalogue. I think that's what it should be called instead.
Yeah, I think so too.
Cool. See you next week.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.